I'd like to welcome everyone here today, especially want to welcome our visitors, and we're so glad that you're here. And if you're looking for a permanent place to worship, we hope that you'll come and consider worshiping with us here at Courthouse. We'd be glad to have you. You know, it's always an anxious time when you're going to present a lesson, and I was praying for some comfort. Just then, Richard stood up and said Charlie was going to bring the lesson. I thought, well, hey, it's working. But I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'm glad that you're here. My sermon this morning is in the New Testament book of Luke, if you'd like to turn over there. Luke, chapter 7, and beginning in verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him, this is Jesus, to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind Jesus at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with her hair, with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is, who's touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus, sensing Simon's disapproving thoughts about this woman and why Jesus would allow this to continue, says in verse 40, "And Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' And he replied, 'Say it, teacher.' A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him the more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And you gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." In this story that we've just read, we should be able to see more clearly and understand those wonderful, forgiving nature of our Lord. There's just three main characters to this Bible story. There's the woman, there's Jesus, and of course the Pharisee. And I want to talk a little bit about each one of them and sum up for us the many things that we can learn from this lesson. Let's first take a look at the woman. The Bible speaks of this woman as one who had a sinful life. From whatever we can understand, that she more likely lived her life as a prostitute. Her bad character was obviously known to everyone around, and it appears that she really wasn't invited to this party. But when she heard that Jesus would be there, she went to the Pharisee's house. Obviously, she must have heard or seen something in the world around her that and the wonderful teachings of our Lord and Savior, those things that he was doing, so she invited herself to this party. And here's a woman, again, who's known about town as one who had many sins. But even though she had those sins, look at the love that she had for Jesus. She was not ashamed of her love for Christ, and she obviously was very open, and she was very willing to demonstrate that love. She didn't care who was watching. She didn't care who was present. She had the opportunity to have her sinful life behind her. And she was willing to repent. She was willing to humble herself and beg forgiveness from the Lord. The Lord knew her heart. He knew her great faith. And he told her to go in peace. He said that your faith has saved you. Now let's take time to reflect on the life of Christ and what the Bible, the Word of God, reveals about him. He, of course, is the central figure to this story. It was during this time when Jesus went about teaching and performing miracles, curing people of all manner of diseases, and preaching to large crowds of people the Word of God. The Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected Christ. They rejected the things that he was saying. They rejected his teaching. Jesus was a threat to their authority and to their power. Sometime just before raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus said to Martha in John 11 in verse 25, that he was the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Bible speaks of Christ as being with God in the beginning. In John 1, verses 2 through 5, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And he was the light that shone in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus came to bring light into a world full of darkness, into a world full of sin. He came to bring truth. In John 1 and verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The Bible also says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. For those that would receive him, those that believe in his name, will be given the right to be called children of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and one Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Such a familiar verse to us all in John 3:16. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's great mercy and God's great love for you and I is seen in the embodiment of Christ, and it's seen in this story. Now let's look at Simon the Pharisee. Who were the Pharisees? They were a sect of Jews which had a particular philosophy. For one, they believed that the souls had immortality, and that there would be rewards and that there would be punishments to those who have lived either virtuously or viciously in their lives. What they did about divine worship of prayers and sacrifices to God, they performed according to their direction. They were greatly able to persuade people and even made converts of other people, of those around them at that time. They were the keepers of the law. The Pharisees were supposed to be the keepers of the law. On the surface, it looked as though that they lived holy and virtuous lives. And there probably are some good things to be said about the Pharisees. But Jesus tells us in strong language in Matthew 23 that they were hypocrites. Jesus didn't mix words regarding the arrogant attitude of the Pharisees. They tried to make their own traditions laws. They expected others to follow God's teaching, but they didn't follow it themselves. They tried to make laws where there were no laws. The Pharisees, as Matthew 23 and verse 27 states, they were like a tombstone, beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they were full of dead man's bones. Pharisees didn't practice what they preached. They loved to appear holy. They loved to have special places at banquets. They love to be seated in important places in the synagogues. They look good on the outside, but in the heart, where it really counts, they were full of hypocrisy and they were full of wickedness. They were arrogant. They were self-righteous. Jesus says of them that they had neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and righteousness. They had neglected all of those. Now, when we look at this story in Luke, we can understand more fully the great mercy and compassion that God has for the sinner. Jesus could see into the heart of this woman. He could feel her sorrow. He could feel her shame in that she stood behind him and that she began to wet his feet with her tears. He could feel the love and the humility she felt toward him as she expressed it so passionately in washing and kissing and pouring perfume on his feet. Jesus tells the woman that her sins had been forgiven because she had loved much. He told her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This woman knew the condition of her life, and she knew Jesus was the only one who could give her a new beginning. You see, Jesus brought mercy and forgiveness into this world, and we can see that in this very touching and compassionate story. And to Simon, Jesus brought truth, the truth that the Pharisees needed to hear. And he gave it to Simon in the form of a simple parable that Simon could understand. God is willing to forgive anyone who comes to him with a sincere heart of repentance. God will turn no one away. But the Pharisees would have nothing to do with this woman. God said that the most important thing in the law was love and justice and mercy. These are the things that the Pharisees lacked, and they were supposed to be the keepers of God's law. Simon should have learned a great lesson that day from Christ, as would all the other Pharisees who had been there. There are several lessons that we can learn from this story today. There are several lessons that we can apply to our lives. First, we can learn that in a sense, Christians are also keepers of God's law. Grace and mercy and justice has been given to us, and it's been given to us through Christ and His holy word. It's our responsibility to see to it that His word is taught to whoever will listen. We are to go out into a lost world and teach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what gospel means, the good news. With this kind of responsibility, it would be easy to develop an arrogant attitude. If we appear to others as self-righteous, if we appear to others as holier than thou, then we have presented the opposite attitude that we should have. We would be no better than the Pharisees that we've just read and discussed. Jesus was humble. Jesus taught with compassion, and he taught with concern for the souls of those multitudes that followed him that day. And also we can learn, whoever tries to make certain traditions laws that must be obeyed, or make certain laws where they have not been found in God's word, they have gone beyond what's acceptable to God. They have added to or taken away from God's word. And we can read in Revelation what will happen to one who adds or takes away from God's word in Revelation 22. Verse 18 and 19, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book." As God's people, as Christians, we should welcome all who would hear God's word, and we should not exclude souls from our midst and from our lives because of what we think of them. Perhaps we don't think they're on the same plane as we are. We have inadequately judged them. We are not to be like the Pharisees in our story, who rejected this woman because of her sin. We too can look good on the outside, but on the inside we can be no better than the dead man's bones that we read about in Matthew 23. Another thing we can learn is that one must come to Jesus to be saved. The Bible says that Christ stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. But you must open the door. You must open the door from the inside, from your heart. She wasn't even invited. This woman wasn't even invited to this banquet, yet she purposely went there to seek Jesus. Just like this woman, each one of us have the responsibility for our own souls. And we must seek truth, and we must seek salvation. And no one else can do that for us. We have to do that for ourselves. One must seek and obey God with their whole heart. The Bible says that those that believe on Jesus will be saved. In Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Jesus speaks of those that become his followers. He says it will be like his mother, or like his brother, or like his sister. This will be our relation to him spiritually. The Bible says that we will be joint heirs with Christ in his kingdom. Another thing that we can learn is that one must be genuinely sorry for what they have done in order to receive God's forgiveness. God is willing and able to forgive, but it's ourselves that keep us from receiving that forgiveness. This woman didn't care whether her feelings were showing. She didn't care who was watching. She had great sorrow, and she had great humility to come and to be with Christ. A person must be genuinely sorry for their past sins and be ready to humble themselves and be ready to ask for the forgiveness. Jesus paid the price of redemption at the cross already for us. He paid the price for you and me. But we cannot have this precious gift unless we are genuinely willing to let go of the past and become followers of Christ. Another thing that we can learn, that when Jesus said, "Go in peace," to this woman, she realized that she could no longer live the life that she once lived. There's another similar example of compassion and forgiveness that we can read in John 8. If you'd like to turn there, John 8, 1 through 11. And Jesus tells the woman to go and sin no more again in this story. Beginning in verse 1 of John 8, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people were coming to him. And he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, having set her in the center of the court. And they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, the very act. Now in the law of Moses, it commanded us to stone such a woman. Then what do you say?' They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they had persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her.' And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the elder ones, and he was left alone and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go and from now on, sin no more." Again, Jesus tells us, this woman who was in sin, to go and to sin no more. In this story of this adulterous woman caught in sin, Jesus' willingness to forgive her also shows his instructions to go and sin no more. The same example that we should have for our lives. God abundantly forgives, but we must receive the forgiveness. True repentance comes from our heart. And when we receive forgiveness from the Lord, we must make every effort not to commit the same sin over and over. We must be sober, and we must be on guard against the temptations that will come our way. And those temptations that will come from our past and want us to give in to sin. We must be on guard and sober to not let that happen. Lastly, another lesson that we can learn from this story is the attitude that we should have for those who are caught up in sin. The Bible tells us in Luke 6, verse 37 and 38, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." We are not to be critical of others. We are to be compassionate. If we treat others kindly, with true concern for them, these qualities will come back to us in full measure. This doesn't mean that we should ignore them or ignore the wrongdoings of others or the sin that they are in. We're not to be ignorant of those things, but we should not be so worried about another's sin that we overlook our own sin. It's so easy to point out mistakes and wrongdoings of others. It allows us to rationalize our own sins away. And we should not be like that. In summing up this whole lesson, we learn the wonderful forgiveness of our Lord. And we also learn about the nature of our God, our Father. We learn that to be forgiven, we must realize that we have fallen short of how God wants us to live. But we must be willing to ask forgiveness and then change the direction that we're heading. When we learn that, though God did his part sending Jesus down to earth to show how to live, when we learn that, we must do our part in recognizing that we also must come to Jesus to be saved and to be forgiven. The Bible says that those that have been baptized have put on Christ in Galatians 3, verse 26. In order for us to put on Christ, we must do what he asks of us. We must begin to live a godly life. God will elevate us to a higher plane. He'll elevate us to a place where we weren't before, when we were so steeped and low in sin. Psalm 103, if you'd like to turn there, Psalm 103, verse 8 through 18. Gives us this beautiful revelation of who God is and the love that he has for each one of us. Beginning in verse 8, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse. He will not harbor his anger forever, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. For as for a man as his days are like grass, he flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those that fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, and those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. When we are washed, when we are cleansed, and when we are justified in the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through baptism, we are transformed and we become new creatures in Christ. God never intended for his creation to live a lowly life on this earth. His plans for us are greater, and much higher than we could ever imagine. And so I ask you the question this morning. Maybe you've been living a life that's not on the level that God intended for you. You can experience peace and happiness knowing that you have a loving relationship with our Lord and Savior. Maybe you've just realized that Jesus is your Lord, and you've been keeping that door of your heart closed to him. Now is the time for you to commit to the Lord. There's no sin so great that can't be forgiven. There's nothing that Jesus can't forgive. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus has all authority on earth and on heaven, and he can forgive your sins. He stands knocking at the door of your heart this morning. He's pleading with you to let him come in. He loves you. He wants you to be with him for an eternity. Maybe you've already been baptized. Maybe you've already committed your life to the Lord. And maybe you're living a life today that isn't what it should be, isn't what a Christian should be. Well, you can come back to the safety and the comfort of the same Lord, same Jesus, same forgiveness. I hope my lesson this morning will cause you to look into your hearts, look into your lives. If you'll kind of remember back on this compassionate and tender story of Jesus' forgiveness for everybody, he has that same forgiving heart for all of us. And again, he loves us. He wants us in his kingdom with him. So if you have a need this morning, won't you please consider the lesson and consider God's word as we come and sing the song that's been selected.